Ever since I was young, I always remember going to a Christmas Eve service, and this is one of those services that it's to me is a part of celebrating Christmas, and it is just something that I have grown to enjoy as just a part of a tradition. But I think it's also one of those services that really help keep Christmas in perspective, to really kind of ground us again and remind us what Christmas is really about. And now this year we get to enjoy Christmas on Sunday as well. So if you are visiting with us, I just wanted to let you know we will be having a worship service tomorrow morning at 10:45 as well. And please join us if you don't have a church that you aren't normally going to. But a number of you have been with me as I have gone through a series in Esther. I actually ended that series about a month ago. But the last message in that series was looking at celebrating God's victory, celebrating what God has done. And in Esther, the Jews celebrated what they called Purim. And it was a celebration of God saving the Jews in Persia at the time of Esther. And they would have feasts. They celebrated with feasts, and they even gave gifts to one another. And a lot of similar things that we do at Christmas time. And they would also read scripture, reading Esther all the way through, which reminded them what God had done for the Jews, and that is that He saved them. And Christmas morning, my family has routinely read through the Christmas story found in the Bible and found in Scripture. We also we do that before we exchange gifts. And I suppose since Christmas is tomorrow, we'll probably be doing all that stuff in the afternoon, which my kids really enjoy. Just get to postpone things a little longer, make it last a little longer. But you might have noticed, or maybe you haven't, but there's a pamphlet on the back, kind of the podium there, where the programs or the bulletins were for tonight. But there's a pamphlet in there that says The Real Christmas Story. And it's putting together the Christmas story found in Luke and in Matthew, and kind of put them together, combined it to give a fuller picture of the time and circumstances around Jesus' birth. And if you'd like one, take one. And it's just scripture, but kind of giving from both books, and does not have like the John the Baptist birth or Jesus in the temple being dedicated, but it's got Jesus' birth. And I'll be reading that one tomorrow with my kids. Take one if you'd like one, but reading Scripture reminds us of what God has done. Though God saved the Jews in Persia, you know, when we looked at Esther, we understand what Jesus did was saving more than Jews. He was saving humanity. He was saving the people that would last for an eternity. Purim, that was that celebration that we saw in Esther, it was really limited to a salvation in a specific time, in a specific place, and under a certain circumstance. Where Jesus is broad and never-ending. We celebrate the birth of our Savior, and the celebration is something that is good. It's good to celebrate. Giving praise to our God is good because He has given us so much that is praiseworthy. Yet in our time, in our culture today, the celebration often becomes the main focus. What's being celebrated becomes less important. Does that make sense? I would also say that there are other things that want to take or replace what's being celebrated. I know it seems a little strange, but it's true. We can focus on gift exchanges, and that becomes the focus. We can focus on food and feasts. Who doesn't like food? Now, I like food this time of year. But that's not the focus. It's enjoyable, but it's not what we're celebrating. Those things are good, but we cannot forget to spend time praising the Lord, as He is the reason for the celebration. And I would say commercialism has really tried to insert its way in to kind of change or replace what's being celebrated. I have nothing against Santa Claus. I have nothing against, you know, some other things that may be there. But the celebration of Christmas is about the birth of Jesus Christ. That's what Christmas is about. And I would say that's why Christmas Eve service, I feel, is still so important. The reading of Scripture during Christmas is important to remind us and to take the time to truly remember and understand. It's Jesus, our Savior, who was born, and He came to bring us life. The ultimate show of God's love is Jesus on the cross. But Jesus' birth is the beginning of God's promises coming to pass. Isaiah 7:14, I did list a bunch of scripture on the back of this red sheet if you have one, and you can follow along if you'd like. But Isaiah 7:14 says, "Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call Him Emmanuel." What's being talked about there is the Messiah, the Savior. The Messiah has been foretold for many years. The people way back in the time of Isaiah were told, look for the miracle to come. Look for the miracle of a virgin with a child who will bear a son. Look for that. It's a sign that a Savior is coming. The Messiah is coming. And it's God remaining faithful, which He always has been faithful. It's Jesus is fulfilling the promises that God has given. With the coming of Jesus, it also meant that the Savior was now here. So Jesus is born. The Savior is now here. There was anticipation for centuries. There were prophecies, many prophecies, not just the one I read in Isaiah, but there are many prophecies that are pointing to the coming Savior who would take away sins. The miracle of Jesus brought all of that together. He was here, and the work He would do would bring peace and bring healing to the people. How do I know this? Well, Isaiah has more of that information that he's telling us what's going to happen. Isaiah 53, verses 5 through 6 says, "But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. And by His wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all." Now that's a verse we often read or hear at Easter time. But this was prophesied long before Jesus. At the coming of Christ, this is what the expected outcome was. Yet it wasn't fully understood until Jesus went to the cross. That passage is a difficult one when you think about it. Jesus came, He did many things while on earth. He ministered, He led by example. He called 12 apostles, He trained them, and He started the church. He discipled many other believers. And these are all great things, to be sure. But a greater purpose was to take our place in receiving the punishment that's rightly due us, rightly due me. He was born to take on our punishment, to take our wounds and to die so that we might live, that we might have peace, we might be healed from sin and brokenness, and to have eternal life. Now that is something, again, we celebrate at Easter time, but when you really think about it, it might be difficult to celebrate the harsh reality that my Savior saved me by taking my sins upon Himself. I'd like to take a moment here. Has someone ever tried to give you a gift? Wanted to give you a gift, and you're just like, oh, no thank you. I'd rather not. I'd like to give you a gift. No, I don't deserve a gift. I don't deserve your kindness. I haven't done anything to deserve that. Now, some of you might not have any idea what that means. You've never felt that way. And that's good. Some of us might be a little less good at receiving. Me, I have at times been lectured on being a better receiver and less about giving. But that is where God is. He is wanting to give His beloved creation, that's us, He's wanting to give us a gift. God knows that many people will reject His gift. But He wishes to make it available to each and every one of us. I have a gift for you. He wants to give it away. He wants us to receive it. I'd like to read Romans 6:23. It says, "For the wages of sin is death." But the next part's what I'm getting to. "But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." We all deserve death. But God gives us the gift of eternal life that is brought to us through Jesus when we receive Him. John 3:16-17, I know many of you might know this, and it's good to keep using this verse because it is good. "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Because of God's great love for us, He sent His Son Jesus. In sending Jesus, He is bringing salvation. We definitely don't deserve it, but let me tell you, I am very thankful for it. And I will give Him praise and celebrate the salvation we have. Celebration now, or the life that we have now and the eternal life to come. Celebrate. It's not just something made up by commercialism to celebrate. We can spend time with family. We can have feasts. We can give gifts. It's all good. As long as we are all the more praising God for His great love for us and for sending His Son Jesus. Celebrate God's love. Celebrate the gift of God's Son Jesus. Now, a little bit ago I asked the question, have you ever turned away a gift? I know this is not quite the same thing, but if you were needing someone's help, would you refuse? Let's say you're drowning and someone's reaching out their hand saying, just take my hand. And your head's going underwater, but you come back up and you say, no, thank you. Who would do that? Who would do that? We all have sin, And that first part of what I wrote in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We are all facing death unless we have the gift of life through Jesus Christ. We saw in this verse, whoever believes will not die, but have eternal life, in that John 3:16. We are saved by faith. Now, we will physically die unless Jesus returns, but our soul will either enter into life in heaven or death, which is actually meaning separation from God in a place of torment for forever. And we also have an enemy out there, Satan, who wants us to believe a number of things. He has many to believe that they don't need help. So if you're drowning, he would say, you're okay. You're okay. Maybe he's telling you that you don't need to be saved, that you're okay. Or maybe he's telling you that there's no real danger. Or maybe he might say that God doesn't really care about you, or you're not worthy to be saved. These are all lies. And when people listen, it leads them to reject that gift that God is handing out. I have this for you. We read John 3:16 through 17, but I'd like to read just a little bit further in verses 18 through 21. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. Verse 19 shows the state of the world. The world is dark because of sin. I don't think we have to look too far, even on the news, to see things aren't good in our world. And things are getting worse. The world is full of sin. But we're given hope because Jesus came into the world. Light has come into the world. The light is Jesus Christ. And he came to bring life to the dead. He came to bring life to the dead. So that means that there's a world full of dead people. The walking dead love darkness and avoid light because they love their sinful ways. Sounds kind of like a zombie type show type thing to me. But yet that is sin. That's how sin works. Then verse 21, but whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. Jesus Christ is truth. He is light and he is life. And no one is worthy on their own. But Jesus came because of his love for everyone. Your past doesn't make you somehow less lovable. We all have a past. We have all sinned. Yet Jesus invites us to come and be with him. There's an invitation again. Please, come. John 1, 9 through 12 says, the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. That's Jesus. He's coming into the world to bring light. Verse 10, he was in the world and through the world was made through, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Jesus was with God in the beginning. He was God. He was a part of our creation. And we have the ability to reject him, which we know leads to death, but believing and having faith and walking in the light of Christ, we are not only given life, we're given eternal life, and we're also adopted as children of God. Adopted as a child of God. We have so much to be thankful for. And I think as we enter in this time that we celebrate Jesus' birth, there is so much to celebrate and to give thanks to God for. And I want to say that if you've not given your life fully to Jesus, I hope you would receive Him and to receive what He wants to give you. And I'll say it's not complicated. It's simply surrendering yourself to Him, seeking His forgiveness, and turning away from sin and selfishness and following Jesus. And that is a start. That's the start. But all of those that follow Jesus know that we need to continue to grow in our faith, grow in our knowledge of Jesus. And that, my friends, is the lifelong journey we take as Christians. I am thankful for God's faithfulness, and I am thankful for Jesus who came and fulfilled God's promised plan of salvation. I am thankful that Jesus came so that we can not only know Him, but know the Father and to know what salvation is. I'd like to say a prayer. Lord, I thank You so much for this time that we're reminded that, God, You truly love us. You love each and every one of us. And that, God, Your desire is to see each and every one of us to say yes to You and to receive Your gift of Your Son, to receive Him as our Savior. Lord, I am thankful that You sent Your Son so many years ago that we can look forward to an eternal life with You in heaven. Lord, I thank You for that. I pray that You'd be with each and every one of us this Christmas season, that maybe this is a tough time of year. And Lord, I pray for those that may be struggling, especially maybe there's a loss of a loved one. I pray that You bring comfort to those. To those that maybe are reminded of some hurts. And Lord, I pray that You'd be with them. And I pray You'd be with others that maybe it's a little chaotic at home. And I just pray that You'd be with them as well. But Lord, most of all, I'm so thankful that at any time, in any place, we can look to You, to speak to You, to pray to You, to have a relationship with You at any time, Lord. I am so thankful for that. Oh, Lord, I thank You for this service tonight and the service tomorrow that keeps us in our time of worship of You. Lord, I thank You, and I pray this in Your name. Amen. Amen. We will have some more worship here. If the worship team would like to come and lead us in a few more songs. If you'd like to stand, then we'll worship together.